Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich. I am so glad that you have decided to tune in today. You're going to be rewarded for that. We've got a great conversation today with Pastor Jack Warren. He's the executive pastor at a church called Chase Oaks Church. This church is in the North Dallas area, the multi-site church, I think with five campuses, if I count correctly, and one that's got Hispanic services only. Is super excited for you to learn more about this church. It's been around since the 1980s, a fast-growing church. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rich. Great to join you.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the church, kind of a bit of the Chase Oaks story and a little bit of a flavor. If people were to arrive this weekend, what would they experience?
Sure. Chase Oaks actually started by a guy by the name of Gene Getz, who was a seminary professor, and he started talking about how church needed to change its forms. And this was back in the 70s. He was a professor at Dallas Seminary. Mm-hmm. And his students said, well, if you think it needs to change its forms, why don't you try it? So he actually launched the church in 1972 called Fellowship Bible Church. And then they ended up launching probably 300 of those churches across the country over the years. But it was all about freedom and form. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And initially, it was more like a traditional Bible church, but very different in its form. So every week you would have a different style of worship. They had a big sharing service, similar to some Jesus movement kind of stuff of the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then the church relocated to Plano and then went through a succession process, a really good succession process in the early 2000s. And we were really known as a strong Bible church at that point. Mm-hmm. And people mostly attended our church because of the biblical teaching that was really strong. Mm-hmm. And there was a pretty strong global missions effort. But when it came to local outreach, there wasn't a lot there. Even to when Gene was transitioning with Jeff Jones, our current senior pastor, mm-hmm. he told Jeff if we were a stool, there was one leg of the stool that really needed some help, and it was our local outreach. And that was Jeff's heartbeat. Jeff came from a family that at the time, I don't think any of them were Christ followers in his immediate family, his parents and sibling. They are now, which is wonderful. But Jeff just had a passion for people who weren't churched, who weren't Christ followers. So we really transitioned from a really strong, internally healthy church to an externally focused church. And began to make partnerships with our city, partnerships with schools, partnerships with local nonprofits. And I would say we stayed internally healthy, but mm-hmm. we really made a big shift to reach out into our community. And that's what caused us to go multi-site and what's caused us to have partnerships with every campus, with Title I schools and other local nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So if you come on a weekend, you probably hear a story related to one of our partners mm-hmm. or a person who truly felt welcome to come as a church. We don't do membership, so you can come as our church to our church. And we just say, once you're here, you're part of us. Mm-hmm. And people feel welcome when they come in. A lot of our forms will be more comfortable to them than going into a typical traditional church. We try to really make an effort to connect with people who aren't Christ followers, but we don't say that we're a seeker church because we try to be a church for the person who has never heard of Christ and a person who's been following Christ for like 50 years. We just want to be on mission and we want to help people live a life on mission.
Right. Yeah, this is so obviously Gene Getz, incredible leader. You know, he's done more in retirement than most people do in their entire lifetime, in retirement in the broadest sense of the word. I don't know that he really hasn't slowed down, which is incredible. And, you know, I think even a casual observer of Chase Oaks externally looking in sees that your church, even just right on the front of your website, you know, make a difference. It's really about, you know, going beyond even just this service experience, getting out of the seats and into the streets. And I would love to kind of dig into that today and get a sense of you know, what that's looked like, what that transition has looked like, and kind of the process that your church has gone through to see that happen. I think there's a lot of listeners who are listening in who would say, hey, that's our heart. We'd love to do that. But not sure, you know, kind of where do we go? How do we even, you know, begin that conversation? So what were some of those steps, some of those early steps that you took as a church?
Yeah. So one of the first things we saw is we had a ton of activity in our church, different Bible studies, different groups, every ministry kind of had their own discipleship pathway. And you could be busy 6 days a week being in the life of our church. But again, all of that being mostly internally focused.
Right.
So we really went to the drawing board and said, what do we need to cut out in order to people's space in their lives, to connect with their neighbors, to connect with local organizations, to just have time to have people over for dinner and have time to engage with people that your kids play sports with and all of that. So we went through a big alignment process to kind of streamline our pathway. And that's how our really three-phase strategy of come as you are, be transformed, and make a difference came about. And so all of our ministries aligned around those three strategies. But honestly, we started with our elders and we read a book called The Externally Focused Church by Eric Swanson. And Eric does a lot of speaking for Leadership Network. We love that book so much. We asked Eric if he would come and spend some time with our elders. So we brought him in and he spent an evening just with our elders. And then we pulled all of our leadership together and we had another with him. And he just walked through the genesis of that book and how he was helping churches from internally healthy to externally focused. And so initially the first year, honestly, it was our elders and our staff making space in their own lives. And the next year is when we really began to develop more strategies and how to make space and go through that alignment process. And then we changed the structure of all of our small groups to where every small group and life group in our church had a person that their only role was to mobilize their small group to be externally focused. Identify a partnership in the community, identify a cause, and then very systematically and even programmatically put that in their schedule for their group. And I think that was the big tipping point for us, is when we went from having these small groups that were just super Bible study oriented, community oriented, building community with each other, to basically saying, if you're going to be a life group at Chase Oaks Church, you're going to have to build this into your schedule, and we'll give you the resources. We'll give you the names and ideas, but one of your leaders, that's going to be their only job. And that's really what mobilized thousands of people in our church to then really plug into our community.
Yeah, I love, there's a lot you've said there that I'd love to kind of pull apart. I think to underline for our listeners, again, we see in churches that are making a difference, they don't hesitate to say, hey, why don't we get some external counsel to help with this? Eric's an incredible leader, great thought leader, and has done some amazing things, to say, hey, why don't you come and spend some time with it? I think that even that's a takeaway for folks to think, maybe there's somebody we need to come and have them come and help us think that through, as opposed to, let's just try to do it all ourselves. Let's talk about the kind of groups piece of this puzzle. Let's try to dig into that a little bit. What I'm assuming that at, you know, as you were making those changes, as you were asking, hey, you know, it's not that your group's not going to study the Bible anymore. It's not that you're not going to connect with each other anymore. It's about saying, on top of that, we're going to ask you to actually put your faith in action, to do something in your community. Did you receive any kind of pushback at that point? Were there people who, or was everybody just jump on board and say, yeah, that's great? How did that process go? How did the kind of communication of that go? And then what, you know, how did you celebrate those wins with each other? What did that look like?
Yeah, great question. It was more than I would ever recommend for another church to do. I'll tell you, because there were several things that happened all at the same time. One is through succession, and there's a lot of nightmare succession stories, but this was a really good one that Gene and Jeff did in a, initially, it was going to be a 7-year process. It turned into a 3-year process. Mm-hmm. Just ready in 3 years. So
yeah.
While we were going through that, we are right at the end of succession. We relocated our church and moved 2 miles north. And
wow.
We felt like that because we were landlocked. We were hidden in a community. We wanted visibility, but we also wanted more space for people. Wow. So we took that opportunity to just do a campaign called Replant. And what we said is we want to take on the mindset of a church planter.
Oh, that's good.
We want everybody in our church to have the mindset of a church planter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the time we probably had about 2,000 people. So we did a big Replant campaign with t-shirts and all kinds of stuff, and but really cast vision through messages, weekend services about what does it mean to plant a church?
Mm-hmm.
And tried to go back to those beginning days of a church with a strong mission for a community and to reach out. So changed the name of our church, changed leaders of our church, relocated our church, changed the structure, and changed the music styles and our services. So,
a few things moving, you know, some moving parts, a few things changing around a little bit.
All at the same time. So I think, honestly, we were more ignorant than super educated about change management. Was that vision to be a church planter, to reach your neighbors and to reach the people that we rub shoulders with in our sphere of influence. I think, you know, that with God's protection and power kept us from imploding. But I will say we probably lost, 300 to 500 people throughout that transition. Because a lot of people, again, came to our church because of the history of great Bible teaching. Mm-hmm. And we have several good Bible teachers in the Dallas area, and several of them in North Dallas. And so a number of people decided, yeah, we're going to go to this church or that church where they've got a great Bible teacher that's nationally known. And so that happened. But interestingly enough, that as those 300 to 500 left, we grew a lot more than the 300 to 500, even within the next year or two.
Interesting.
So, you know, you're right. Some people did not get on board with us, and they weren't anti Chase Oaks, but it was a different type of church than they had been a part of for the previous 10, 15 years. And they wanted to find a place that was more comfortable, that they were used to. And so we lost some people, but we reached a whole lot more people. And we're big fans of making reaching decisions versus keeping decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, absolutely.
It's a Andy Stanley podcast that he's done. And decisions are tough at times, but it's that vision of planting a church, of reaching people who aren't reached yet, that drives us.
Yeah, very cool. Now, so through this process, a part of what you started to do is to reach out more to kind of other community organizations, so schools, you know, city officials, other nonprofits, that sort of thing. Can you give us a sense of how that process either went when you first started or continues today? How do you continue to kind of engage with other partners in the community? Because this isn't about saying, hey, let's start a whole bunch of different social service organizations. In a lot of ways, from what I understand, it's really about supporting what's already happening and kind of giving some effort to those things.
Absolutely. So we had a guy in our church who was not on staff, but this guy lived this kind of lifestyle. He was retired and he was doing outreach in the community, and he kept pushing us, and we just weren't prepared and ready to go there. But once we did the transition, he joined our staff really as an unpaid volunteer staff person for a while and introduced us to a lot of partnerships and to organizations that he was a part of. And we then, let me think of how this happened. I just started as the executive pastor. I started traveling around with him, and he would just take me to schools. He would take me to some of these nonprofits that he was trying to resource and support as a business guy. And one thing led to another, and I introduced multiple staff people to these organizations and to these great leaders. And then we just started slow, but with the theme of partnership, because like you said, maybe the typical church mindset is there's a big need and we need to go out and solve it. We try to take the approach most of the time, let's see who's first trying to solve it and see if we can resource and partner with them.
Right.
We had partnered with an organization doing some international work called Bright Hope World. And that's the mindset of go find the people that have the vision and the passion for their community around the world and invest in them versus sending your westernized formulas and people. So we tried to take that mindset into the community and go identify the people who were helping the single moms and helping special needs and helping with the Title I schools. And let's go figure out what it means to partner with them. So we then began to craft some of those partnerships in conjunction with the, you know, the CEOs of those organizations or the president, directors, and school principals. So real quick story, on the school part, every one of our campuses partners with at least one school. Some of them partner with three schools.
Wow.
And initially, the schools were very resistant to us because we were a church and we were saying, how can I help you? And they say separation of church and state. So 12 years ago, we actually started with a school in East Plano and initial resistance. And we said, well, can we at least help you on some landscaping or something? The school needed some help just out front to look more welcoming. So first thing we did is we did some work on a playground and did some out front beautification landscape stuff. The next year, they kind of let us into their teacher's lounge, and we were able to redo that. then by the third or fourth year, they basically said, you can do anything you want at our school because we love you guys and you do it.
Wow.
No strings attached. So we started mentoring students. We started doing teacher appreciation. And eventually that one school said, would you please start a church campus in our school?
And wow.
Hispanic campus started. But it took literally 5 years to build that trust.
Right.
I would say it's been that way almost in every school that we've gone into is you start just with those simple things. And then they realize these are nice people. They seem to love God, but they don't cram it down our throats. And they're not on an agenda here to preach to our kids the second they see them. We help out with school supplies. We help out with Christmas gifts for the kids whose parents can't afford it. But we do that in a dignified way by getting the gifts to the parents through a family center. So it's taken time, and I'm not a patient person, but it just takes time. It's like it takes time to build trust with your neighbor. It takes time to, me going over to them and inviting them to my church day one is probably not that effective. But me being a friendly neighbor that cares about them and what's going on in their life and having them over for dinner, that whole art of neighboring and stuff, that's critical stuff that just takes time. So it took some time, but it's really paid off to where we have a lot of open doors in those schools. And then with other, like you mentioned, nonprofits that takes time as well. But it just takes intentionality to build those relationships, build that trust. And then as the years went on, we were able to introduce groups to those particular schools and nonprofits.
Yeah, I love that. I think, a lot of churches, just to underline what you're saying, there's a lot of churches that talk about how they want to partner with people in the community. But really what that translates is, we've got some ideas we'd like to do to you, as opposed to, like, we really do want to work together. And so, like any partnership, it takes a long time to, they're like, in other contexts, I've used the dating analogy, right? It's like, this just the first date, we're just getting to know each other, and how, before we're going to decide to spend more time together, we're earning the right to even be in the conversation, which is great. And I think that's a good reminder for us to keep focused on how, the kind of long-term win, how are we building relationships over an extended period of time? Now, how do you keep this from being just a kind of one-time act, an exciting, wow, we served the community once in 1993. It was a great summer. It seems like you've been able to transform this into really the heart of who the church is. What are you doing at Chase Oaks to kind of keep people passionate about being engaged in the community?
Well, for us, it's all about relationships. So it's not a one-time fly in, do something and get out of there. It's first build the relationship, let them continue to drive the car, have the keys to it and say, how can we ride along with you? How can we support and resource you? And then once they get that heart, They want to stay connected with us. So part of it is initially, again, building that relationship, but then staying engaged in conversation with them, saying, okay, now that we've done this, what are some other needs that we can help with, or other initiatives that you're about that you need either people or you need money or you need resources? And they're usually not shy about communicating those.
Right.
And then another, so it's that relationship and ongoing offer. And then part of that was asking our life groups to stay with a partnering organization, not just do it. Because we do some campaigns externally and Make a Difference campaign in April. And we have Seasons of Giving where we'll do some things for different organizations. But it's really about the partnership of a life group with one of those schools or with an organization for that entire year. And so the leader stays on top of that. And then internally as a church, we just celebrate the crud out of those stories. And so
we love it.
You know, we tell a lot of stories in our church on those three themes of come as you are, be transformed, and make a difference. Mm-hmm. And it's those stories that continue to inspire. But I think those stories are key vision casting opportunities. So we do tell a lot of those stories.
Very cool. I love that. Now, over the, when you kind of look to the future in this area, what do you think the future looks like? How, you know, are there things, even questions you're asking or stuff you're wondering about, you know, what partnership might look like down the future? Again, obviously you can't predict where things are going, but what are you, where are you kind of looking over the horizon on this front?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We're going through a shift to where we're moving really from just groups-based outreach to developing leaders in our church that are primary partnership leaders and their liaisons alongside of an organization. And then no matter what group you're in, what life group you're in, you can then engage with that leader and a whole team of people who are serving. So it used to be that we celebrated serving internally and you have a role in the church where you volunteer your time, whatever it might be. And then when you're in a life group, you're involved in that group's partnership. Now we're trying to move it to where we want people to serve where their passions are, and we want people to serve, and we don't really separate the internal and external service. We really want people making a difference, and some of that's going to be in a kids ministry at a campus. Some of it might be with a partnership. So now we have designated leaders that are partners with all of those organizations. And there's probably 30 to 40 of those partnerships. And so you might be in a life group, but you don't, your life group is not just tagging one partnership, but you've got multiple people in your life group that are serving in different areas. So it's a big shift for us and it's a bit risky. So what got us here was really good and effective and working. But what we feel like we need to do is give people the freedom to identify their own strengths and passions and then choose that partnership. And sometimes that doesn't work well in a group because you might have a group of 20 people and three of them who are the most dynamic leaders are passionate about special needs. They engage their whole life group in it. And 15 of them are like, you know, that's just a real big stretch for me. I can go help a time or two, but staying engaged relationally with that organization is just not me. And so that's what we're trying to address.
Interesting. Really cool. Well, I know, well, first of all, I think what's happening at Chase Oaks is amazing. I think there's a lot of church leaders should be patterning what they're doing after, you know, what's happening there. It's, you know, amazing. You know, one of the things, I wrote this book earlier this year and one of the five on church growth and one of the five areas that we tried to pull apart was, this whole community engagement piece that when you look at the churches that are growing quickly, they all seem to be doing something similar to what you're doing, which is serving outside their walls, doing something to make a difference in their community. What would you say the impact of doing all this has had on your church? You know, I know there's church leaders that are listening in that are like, listen, I can barely get enough people to serve in kids ministry. I'm not sure, and they would never say it this way because they're good Christians, but I'm not sure I could say to my people like, hey, whether you serve inside the church in kids ministry or whether you serve at a soup kitchen down the road is the same thing. I need them to serve in kids ministry. What impact has this had, this kind of shift had in the life of the church?
Well, I think we're early on in our shift in terms of really giving that message. So I don't have a great answer for you in terms of data that we've seen. But it's really interesting because we've been going through a big leadership development process and how we create a culture that is really strong in leadership development. And So helping us go through this process is really creating a culture that has the vision of reaching the community, but also has a vision of, if we're going to do that, one of the primary ways we know that we're going to have to do that is have a much better culture that develops leaders. A guest that walks in the door to an elder. And what does that leadership pipeline look like? So what we're striving to do is have people that are serving in kids ministry, serving in student ministry, first impressions, worship, whatever it might be, always with your head up, looking for people to share that vision and to share those opportunities rather than the mass, you know, get up in front and, oh, we need 15 more people to write in the nursery. I mean, you get 13 that are just not good. So we're really trying to have a lot of those I see in you conversations about our culture, to where people identify and go after friends, people that are new to their group. So our prayer and hope is that we create such a good culture of leadership development that everybody, wherever they're serving, is reaching out to people to recruit, to inspire, to train. And so you can ask me next year, how did that work out for you? But we're doing this very intentionally with an organization, which you guys probably know about tons, with Leadership Network and a guy named Brent Dolfo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible at leadership development. So,
yeah, Brett's been on the show in the past. A great leader for sure.
Yeah, he's a much smarter guy than I am. And, and he's really coaching us well in that process.
Yeah, that's great. Well, this has been great. Super inspirational. I think practical. I think you've given us a really clear picture of a church in transition, which is super helpful. Is there anything else you want to share on this before we move on with the rest of the episode?
At the end of the day, I think it's about vision, and it's the heartbeat of your church. And what is that heartbeat? And It has to, if you're going to transition your church from internally to externally focused, or if you're really going to reach into your community and make a substantive difference, I think it has to start with your senior leadership, and They have to live it and then lead it. And so I would say, you know, when our senior pastor talks about his kids being in this sport or that sport and how they're connecting with those families and how they're having their neighbors over. I mean, that just casts, people want to know, what does it look like to be externally focused? And so my last word on this would be, as a staff, as a senior leadership, the passion needs to be there. The vision needs to be there. And the lifestyle needs to be there. Then you have a platform to call people to that kind of vision.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show today. We've got, it's our honor really to have Pastor Jack Warren with us from Chase Oaks, a fantastic church doing lots of really cool things. Excited to learn more from them today. Jack, what is an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you out?
So I'm a big fan of Henry Cloud and John Townsend. So I look at a lot of their resources that are out there, podcasts, articles. So they would be a huge one in our world. There's others, but what I find,
they would be at the top.
As we get more complicated with multiple campuses, the ability to work well together, the ability to just be emotionally and relationally healthy as staff. If we're not, it all breaks down. So that's kind of a side passion that I have of really helping us be emotionally intelligent, relationally intelligent, and really healthy people. So
very cool. Very cool. What's a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking or ministry?
So I mentioned the whole leadership development theme. And so a couple of books on those themes, Exponential by Dave and John Ferguson.
Yeah, fantastic.
Really gives you some good practical tools and strategies for leadership development, along with another book called Empowering Leadership by Michael Fletcher. Mm-hmm. Those two books have a lot of overlap, but they really give you not only the vision for a culture that develops leaders to impact your community, but they give you a lot of the strategies and the tactics and the language. So that's been incredibly helpful in the last several months.
Very cool. What's another ministry you're looking at to kind of inspire you these days?
So obviously there's a number of churches that we network with, but probably the organization that has made the biggest difference in our church consistently has been Leadership Network.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like I said, we're part of a group, an accelerator group with Brent Dolfo right now, who works for Leadership Network. So those guys have been in a process of various programmatic changes over the year. But I think right now they are hitting a sweet spot that are kind of back to the roots of why Leadership Network started. These accelerator groups that they have, whether it's a multi-site accelerator group, an externally focused accelerator group, or a leadership development one, is incredibly helpful because you go and you visit some of the best churches that are doing these things really well.
Right.
Do it in a context of community with other churches that want to learn how to do it well. So Leadership Network gets a huge plug for me on that one.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
Okay, so we're not a political church at all.
Yes.
We stay away from politics like crazy. Our mission is not to it's not to build a Republican culture. It's not to vote somebody into office at all. But your question, if I had 15 minutes with another leader, I would love 15 minutes with our president.
Okay, cool.
Which is, I know, a weird answer, but...
No, it's great.
And what I would do, and so I hope I don't get banned from radio or something, or or a podcast, but I would love to introduce him to Henry Cloud and John Townsend and say, you guys can really help you in the way you lead and the way you could be a more healthy person. And I'll just
That's cool.
But I think he could use some great counseling by Henry Cloud.
That's good, man. I like that. That's good stuff. You know, if I know leading in a church like yours just takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot of energy, effort. But in your own personal life, we just want to kick back, relax, have some fun. What do you do for fun there, Jack?
So I'm a very strategic person and I can over strategize and over hyper focus. And fun is not my middle name, but I know. So I try to discipline myself to have it. And so very out of the box for me is I have really developed a passion for bow hunting, and it provides solitude, it provides strategy and getting out in nature and just seeing. And so, the bow hunting thing has been a big thing. And then over the years, mountain biking has been a passion. So I've got a few encounters with a couple of bears, a mountain lion, other things in my mountain biking experience are really exhilarating, but really dumb.
That sounds like actual mountain biking, you know, as opposed to just like I'm riding my mountain bike through the park around the corner.
No, it's actual mountain biking. But yeah, that's been a great stress reliever and connecting with God through nature.
That's really cool. Well, Jack, I really appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, just to kind of follow up a little bit, get a sense of or continue to track with you, what's the best way to do that?
You can just email me directly if you'd like.
Okay.
And
sure.
You can look at our website as well, just chaseoaks.org or just at jwarren@chaseoaks.org. And I will do my best to respond in a timely manner. But yeah, if anything here sparks interest or questions or wants, you know, someone wants further information, glad to talk about it.
That's great. Really appreciate being on the show today. Hope you have a great weekend. Take care.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks for what you're doing and investing in the kingdom. And I just pray that God continues to use you greatly like he's doing.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.